My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Raisin Bran? You got to put Raisin Bran up there. Everybody knows it.
It's Mike Shope.
Listen, get your own stupid old dying person team and choose your own cereals.
And the Bulldog.
I shall unleash my fury upon you like the crashing of a thousand waves.
That cereal is soggy. You reach into the fridge for the milk and open the lid on the milk to pour it in there, and that crap is already soggy.
I am untethered and my rage knows no bounds.
That's a problem for a cereal.
A huge problem.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
This reminds me. I think I know the answer. I know my own convictions about this, but I want to put it out there. Is it not a grocery store foul when you're at the deli, and maybe not every store does this, but many prepare the more popular meats and cheeses, and they're packaged, you know, a pound, a half pound, right there next to the deli or nearby. Is it not a foul to order one something from that station at the deli when you could just go grab it and there are other people waiting?
And that's not because I'm thinking of how many times I've done that.
Wait, we missed the beginning. What did you say?
I'm sorry. I'm thinking not a foul, and it's not because I'm sensitive to having done this myself. I buy from that, you know, the case that has the packaged, prepackaged deli meats and cheeses and potato salads and whatever. I buy from there plenty, but when I'm looking for more than, you know, I'm not going to buy like 5 half-pound packages of turkey breast. If I want 2 pounds of turkey breast, I'm going to go to the counter and ask them for 2 pounds of turkey breast. You know what I mean? Rather than just grab a bunch. So volume matters. And, you know, you're there, and if you have the time, freshness might count too. I mean, not that that stuff is worrisome. I'm sure it's fresh each day, but you know, something that's been in the case and sliced there as you're waiting is going to be, you know, have less time off of the, you know, the log it came from, if you know what I mean. So I'm all right. I don't ever, I'm also lucky that, you know, my time for shopping is never peak hours. You know, I'll go at 9 in the morning. I'll go at 7 at night after we get done. And it's never busy. So I don't ever feel like I'm holding anyone up, really. So I'm fine. I'm fine doing that.
Okay. Well, this is how I am. But if I'm at the deli and there are people waiting for when I'm done, especially if it's more than just one person, and I could get the exact amount that I want from the deli right there to my right by just grabbing it, I would never not do that. Like, just I'm not putting this these other people off by, you know, what I'm worried. This was in the morning when it happened to me. I'm worried that the cheese isn't fresh enough. If you're ordering American cheese, it's good. You could leave it out for 2 months.
Probably going to be fine,
and it's still fine. Right. So, and I also think, you know, so you have no idea. I was in a little bit of a rush the other day, and I'm waiting, and you have no idea how much the person is going to order. Like, there's no limit,
right?
They will never. Would they? If you got to like a seventh thing, would the store tell you, all right, that's the last thing? We're not.
No.
They would never do that.
No, I think never. I think in that case, if I'm waiting behind that person and I have become frustrated, I would probably go do some other shopping and come back.
That's what I did.
Or see if the case has what I want so I can just get out of there, because, you know, I don't want to stand there all day either.
That makes sense. I knew in my case it didn't. You check first.
Sure.
And it's usually the same things anyway. Your turkeys, your hams, your salamis, your Munster cheese, your Swiss cheese.
Your provolones.
But if you want pastrami or capicola, you got to get in line. Like, they're not going to have that already, you know, usually, if not always, have that prepared. All right. Well, we're not on the same page there.
No, I'm more forgiving.
So Trista brought up the question of the summer: who will lead the Bills in receiving? And let's take a look at the stats right now. It is Khalil Shakir, who was your pick, at 8 for 96 in two games. So, I mean, that's like 70 catches, which was about the projection, you know, if he's on that pace for most of the year. Then Dalton Kincaid is the only other Bills player with as many as five, which that's going to be like maybe not even 40 catches. And his air yards are negative, did I see, from Ian Harditz for the season so far, -3?
I have not seen that, but it wouldn't surprise me. The Miami game especially. I mean, he only had one target in the opener, right? The Miami game was very reminiscent of how they started out using him early last season. Just let's establish that we will do this, right? Parallel to the line of scrimmage and let him run after the catch. And he ran pretty effectively, I'd say, after the catch. He made more of at least a few of those. I mean, there weren't that many, but at least a couple of those receptions, he broke tackles and got a couple of extra yards, got them into like second and one a couple of times, I think. But still, it was, you know, not what we're looking for long-term from his body of work, I don't think.
So, overall, I mean, it'd be hard to complain so far. They've been scoring. They're 2-0, of course. It'd be hard to complain so far. I want to be fair about it because I have consistently thought an offense like this eventually just will not be enough. And I've got Allen. I feel like I can justify a more pass-oriented offense. It's obviously worked for them in recent years. But a part of me thinks it's not quite fair to just, when they lose a game, be like, see?
Right.
Yeah. So, I don't know. You know, yesterday's conversation, we got a call about James Cook, and I'm just sort of mid on James Cook, and somebody else called in like, no, he's going to maybe be an all-pro. And, yikes, I don't think so. But so far, so good. I just want to be fair and also right about what's happening. And we know that the Bills are not the only team, far from it, that are going this direction. Trista brought up, or we talked with her about the Chargers. Justin Herbert, who is what in terms of talent as a quarterback in the league? I mean, he's top 10 at least, has 274 passing yards in their two games total, right?
And they're also 2-0.
And they're also 2-0.
Right. Well, I think. I balked at, I said, I think when the first Cook caller got through that my, the way I see it, I think I'm bigger on Cook than you, but there's a long way to go before you start talking about all pro. I mean, if you wanted to make the case, I think, you know, how have we been sounding? They're going to run it a lot. They are going to use him a lot. But even that, like, I don't know that that won't turn into, like, Ray Davis and Ty Johnson have a day. Other guys in the receiving game get featured. Like, so far, it looks like a pretty Cook-centric offense. But it's only 2 weeks. So I just don't know that he's going to have the opportunity to put up the kind of season that would get you that ahead of, you know, the more established superstar level backs that do it all that are out there. But, you know, if you told me they're going to give him 20 touches a game, you know, and that's about where we're at, I think, through 2 weeks, aren't
we? It's a little less, but okay. 17.
Okay. You know, I could get there, but I just think a lot has to go right. But with all that said, I'm not worried at this point about them featuring him. It's working. I also don't feel it would be fair to just wait until the offense has a bad day and go, see, they missed Stephon Diggs. They should have traded for Brandon Ayuk. Like, I just think that's going to be insane.
Well, so, you know what's interesting about that, though? Like, what if it's a playoff game?
Well,
you know, like that's yeah. That's when it matters. You have to get in, and they're doing their jobs so far, you know, toward that.
Yeah.
But if it's a playoff game and Kincaid is catching one pass, and, you know, it's kind of like what's happened so far, that kind of, not necessarily Diggs, but that kind of thing will get said.
Yeah. And it won't necessarily be wrong out of hand.
Right.
But, you know, I might be waiting around the corner to say, oh, you mean so the same thing happened in the playoffs that's been happening when Stephon Diggs was on the team? Like, so why is that the smoking gun? Like, I'm just not sure I'd want to, like, you know, get there. But we'll see. I mean, there's a long way to go before we get to that point. But I just feel like maybe even Monday, I mean, it's a cherry-picked play. But when they needed Allen to do something, he got out of there and threw a dart to a backup running back who was being covered by one of the best cover corners in the league. And it was money, and it was first and goal, and James Cook waltzed in the next play. I feel like even without that stud receiver so far, when they've needed it, and really more so in the Arizona game, I think Allen had to do a lot in the Arizona game, and he did it. I feel like so far the returns are, when I need to flip a switch, I'm going to get a play from him. And if I don't, I'm going to be throwing it to Dalton Kincaid at the line of scrimmage and handing it off to James Cook. And, you know, 30 points a game, who's got a problem?
Yeah, 30 points a game answers all the questions. So far, the answer to who the daily discourse on who will lead this team in receiving is, so what? Who cares? That's the answer so far, is who cares?
Yes. If Shakir ends up leading this team in receptions with 65 or 70 catches,
which
I'm going to guess that it went off the rails somewhere.
See, that's really the point. Because isn't it exactly on the rails that they described, that everything suggested? This is exactly what, not exactly, in terms of volume. Like, you want everybody a little higher. It's not, I'm saying everybody snacks. Not everybody eats. This is not eating.
Right.
All right. Keon Coleman not catching a pass in a game. Kincaid for -3 air yards over 2 weeks. One catch in the opener. That's not eating. That's barely snacking. So you'd expect, I expected higher. And maybe everybody did. Because this is really a stark change. Again, this is the story of the season so far in the league. Is teams not handing the ball off so much more, but not able to throw the ball down the field. Quarterbacks are running. Interesting that Allen didn't even run in Miami. You know, that might be the most surprising thing about the stats from Miami, is that he's got the injury, but that he didn't run. I don't know. Like, it's going to be sort of over there on the side all season if it doesn't change. And really, for me, Kincaid is the one. I didn't expect Coleman to be, you know, such an impactful player as a rookie. Week one, really good. Week two, invisible. So didn't need him, right? Invisible sounds harsh. It wasn't that game.
Right. He was on the field a lot, which is still, right. I think, encouraging. But yeah, he got one pass thrown his way, I think.
But Kincaid is still like, is that really what this is going to be? That's last year at the beginning, and it was okay because he was a rookie, and they were winning a lot too. Not for long, but that's how last year was, like the first month. And you didn't really need your rookie tight end in a league where rarely do rookie tight ends give you anything, you know, stat-wise, to deliver. Then the season got later, and his usage started to look better to the point where, you know, he was giving you those seam catches late in the season.
I think what we can't know now, you know, I have a guess about how teams will handle the Bills and all these other teams that are also, you know, not pushing it down the field because of how they're being defended. Like, let's see how that evolves. Like, will teams eventually change? Like, if the Bills keep scoring 30 points a game and Josh Allen's throwing for 170 yards or something, which I don't, he didn't even get to that against Miami, right?
It was 133.
130, yeah. But, you know, whatever. If it's all muted, but they're scoring like crazy, you know, to the tune of, like, you know, these past two games. So there isn't a problem with the offense. It's just that style-wise, we don't love it, but it's working. Then do I get teams coming out of that more than they have? Like, certainly teams aren't exclusively playing. I saw Mina Kimes, it's 60% so far through 2 weeks. Or maybe this was only through week one. I don't think the numbers that were there yet. At least I didn't see them. But anyway, like, if you that 60 becomes a 40, and you notice it, you should be aware of it in studying your opponent and studying how teams are playing you. Then maybe there's a counterpunch, right? I would doubt that the Bills are going to be able to roll through this season just doing what they've done in these 2 weeks. It just doesn't. As much as the league may be swinging toward it, more conservative, less explosive plays, fewer explosive plays, I should say, and more running, will that, you know, I think we're far from knowing that that's going to stay the way it is. I mean, teams will evolve with how they're going to defend you, especially, again, if the Bills are still racking up 30 points a game, doing it without Allen, then you may have to pivot to asking him and Kincaid and Shakir and Coleman and everyone else to do a little more, because you're just, you know, and this is all assuming like a level sort of, you know, 50-50 game script. I mean, they've not really been, well, they were behind a lot against Arizona and they threw it like crazy to get back in that game, as it turned out. But so far it's working, but I think teams could change what they're doing, and then I'm going to need a counterpunch, and that's when I think it gets interesting. Like, do I have what I need there to throw it, you know, 70% of the time? If a team is just laying there giving it to me, I want to take it. Those are 3 points.
It's still relative, though. Like, it was 139 in Miami, but it's 23 passes against Arizona. You know, like, that's a half for some of his games when the Bills were really starting to hit. It's not. I don't think it's ever like what they want, 45, you know, some number like that, because, you know, you see a lower passing, you know, total, attempts total, you're probably winning because you're able to run the ball, and then you just don't need
old,
to throw it.
It's the old, like, what's your record when you run for 100 yards type of thing, to an extent.
Yes. The thermostat that we all believed in and could cite, you know, from memory, how the Bills had just never lost a game when he ran for 100 yards. We didn't realize that was more the effect than the cause. Let's go to Anthony next. Hello.
Hey, guys. You know, I got to say, isn't this the great example of complimentary football? You know, we know Josh Allen can throw the ball. We know he can air it out. We know he can get 400 yards a game. But having a run game where you don't have to rely on Superman every game, I think, is a great recipe. And I'm interested to see how the season plays out. But you know, it just complimentary football, man. It's a balance of the powers. And as a defending team, how do you know what game you're going to get? Are you going to get the air ball, or are you going to get the run? So that's what I want to say, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you. Yep. I guess Bulldog made the point about the Dolphin game, like the Ty Johnson play. You get, what's the benefit of having Allen? I mean, you could go on all day about, you know, naming things. Mm-hmm. But there's, like, the caller is saying, I can have 400 yards whenever I want it. And I don't think so. Like, right. I don't think with this team that I'm so confident in that. And a lot of that is by how, you know, Brady coaches and
the personnel.
So the benefits of...
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter. And Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Having Josh Allen as your quarterback are wide-ranging, and definitely those games have been in his range of outcomes for his whole career, but I think this year is different in terms of who they are and what's happening around the NFL. So I don't know that. What I would also put on that list is the ability to make that one play when you need that. And that's what happened. I mean, it was in the second quarter, but he did that. The Johnson play was huge in that game. And before too long, like, the Dolphins were already dead on Thursday night. And that play had a lot to do. Was that third down even? I'm not sure
I don't remember the down. I just know that it was, you know, it was a dart, you know, into, like I already said,
what,
like, you know, Jalen Ramsey. So, I mean, I feel like, you know, again, you know, that's one play. We're 2 weeks in, so we don't have, numerous examples of this. There were a lot, maybe a lot more in the Arizona game. He did more in the Arizona game, but still it was modest in the end. But that is the thing that right now I at least can sort of cling to if I – and I'm really not as concerned about the big picture here. Like, I think it's working. I trust that there will be a pivot when and if it needs to happen. And that, you know, the fact that in pockets, Allen still has this ability, like, you know, that was not Stephon Diggs or some receiver they traded up into the top 10 for making that play. It was Ty Johnson, who's just like, your name here. Nothing against the guy, but geez, that you can make that play, that I don't want to say that's all I need, but for right now, it's enough.
Yeah, if you want to run the ball, what you're doing is you're giving lesser teams a better chance to win. I mean, run the ball, like, a lot. Really turn in that direction like the Bills have done. And that's what I don't like about it. That's why, you know, once they got good, once they got pretty, then they're throwing the ball all the time, and that's great because I can score, and you're going to have a tough time keeping up with me. And bad teams got blown out. That year that the Bills, you know, blew out so many of those teams, and their point differential was amazing, but people questioned whether they could beat good teams or just whether their schedule was deserved the credit for what they were doing. No. Great teams blow out the bad teams. That's the better indicator. That's what you'd want to see, but you play slow, and you're not going to be as capable of that. And the debate is in part trying to figure out, like the caller is saying, well, they can if they want to.
Right, but how vulnerable do you want to leave yourself in the fourth quarter of a game against an inferior opponent that you're favored by a touchdown against, say, but it's a 4-point game because you played, you know, small ball.
That was Arizona.
Yeah.
You know, that's exactly what that game was, but they won it. Thanks, Anthony. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 803-0550. Ross Tucker next hour. This is WGR. Contest time. Caller 5 and 6 at 716-221-4WGR. That's 4947. Both callers 5 and 6 will win a pair of tickets to see Tom Segura at KeyBank Center September 27th. Courtesy of Live Nation, tickets are available now at Ticketmaster.com. Bulldog and I both went out for live music this weekend. Although, I mean, in your case, a festival, how many different bands is that you saw?
Oh, my gosh.
50.
It was a bit. I mean, it was all day. Started at 3 maybe on Friday and then at noon on Saturday and Sunday and went until, you know, 10, 11 o'clock. A lot of bands. I didn't really watch that much. I was working. My wife had a stand in the stables at Borderland for the first time, and it was a tremendous experience, even though I did not, you know, I saw some of the Black Crowes and some of Marcus King. I was able to watch all of my friends Uncle Ben's Remedy and Handsome Jack, a couple of bands from, you know, the area, in their entirety. Even got to play a song with Uncle Ben's, which was super fun. My wife, since the very first edition of that festival, we know the organizers, and as they were starting it up, they took us on a sort of a tour of the site. And this is, I don't even know how many years ago now, 7, 8 years ago, like pre-COVID, for sure, by maybe a couple years. Anyways, from the first moment she saw the stables at Knox Farm and knew that people who do what she does, handcrafted jewelry and adornments, would be setting up shop in there, she was like, I want to do this. And it took us many, many years to finally get her out there. And it was really fulfilling to see her in that event. People, of course, you know, all of our friends giving the love back. We've been supporting all these local artists and promoters for, you know, basically our entire lives together. And they all came to, like, fly the flag for her, which was really nice. And then, of course, you know, just people attending the festival complimenting her displays and her work. And it was really, really good for her and therefore me.
Nice.
What was your deal like?
I loved it. I don't even really know why I was so bent on going to see Cat Power on Saturday. She's not somebody that I've really known that well or followed, but I love that spot at Fallsview. I mean, I've been to comedy shows there and a couple of concerts. You and I were in that room, the Avalon Ballroom, I think it's called, in 2004 doing Bill's watch parties and stuff. And so it's like a little bit nostalgic too. But I just love that the sound in that room. And it was really great. She, her tour is, it's a Bob Dylan album from the 60s, like a famous concert. I believe it's actually misidentified Royal Albert Hall.
I think it's identified as Royal Albert Hall, but it actually took place at like the workers, somewhere
in Manchester.
Yeah, right. I've read that too. Yeah.
So it was, it's kind of interesting to me because I didn't really know her that well, and I'm not like the biggest Dylan fan or anything, but I came upon that record, like just sort of playing a subscription service at home, and just random music pops up, and I'm like, oh. And then when I saw the email from Fallsview that she was going to be performing there, I'm like, I have to go to that. It just was something almost like subconscious for me. I have to go to that.
Well, good for
and
you.
I really loved it. It started kind of oddly because somebody was coughing. A couple of people were coughing in the crowd. And
when that happens.
At the end of the first song, she kind of like just went and she addressed it. Like she went into the crowd with water to, you know, are you okay? Is everybody okay? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And there was a point where I thought maybe like she was just uncomfortable. But man, in the middle of the show, it just completely became amazing. And I'll never forget the night. It was really that good. I will never forget the night.
I love to hear it. Love to hear it. Yeah, highest possible recommendation for Borderland from me. Like families, I feel reasonably comfortable speaking. I'm sure Jeremy has said the same thing if it came up at all. Jeremy and Molly, the twins and the baby, were there Saturday. I played at 3 with Uncle Ben's Remedy, or around 3:45 maybe. They were there for that. And the headliner that night was a band called Camp that is one of Miles' favorites. And Jared was raving about the fact, like, just very welcoming, family friendly, like, really, really, the vibes are just off the charts. It's a really, really, the venue is amazing. It just really is well run. And I was super proud to be involved in it, as I said already, from the very start of it, even. But even now, in a bigger way, with my wife being a part of the artisan community there. It was really, really great.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog, Ross Tucker in about 25 minutes. How big do you think the Pacheco injury is for Kansas City? Is it nothing? We like to say that these running back things are like nothing, just put someone else in. But it doesn't really seem quite right to just be that dismissive.
I think I'm inclined to be that dismissive.
Samaje Perine,
yeah.
Or Carson Steele, or eventually maybe even Kareem Hunt,
yeah,
who the league did not want.
Right. They made a move there for him, so I guess, you know, forget about Jerick McKinnon or something reprising his role there as a pass catcher anyway, at least for now. I feel like they'll get Edwards-Helaire back, I think, at some point, right? He's like pup 4 weeks kind of thing.
Yeah. Who knows what that is though anymore?
I know, right? Where he's at career-wise and all that. I know it's bigger questions for him than just being healthy enough to get on the football field. But all the same, even without Hollywood Brown, I feel like there's enough there. If something happened to James Cook right now, and I recognize Pacheco has, you know, the longer playoff runs, Super Bowls, the whole thing, and he's an important guy. Right now, this offense, the guy eating the most is James Cook. If something happened to him, I don't think I'd be worried. As much as he's been good for them, I don't feel like that would break my back or the team's back. I'm going to plug another guy in, and maybe I'll have to do some different stuff, i.e. throw it more, but I don't feel like that would be a season breaker. So I'm not inclined, and I'm someone who owns Pacheco in fantasy, would have liked to see him keep going, but I don't feel like it has to be that big a deal for them.
I would never think like it wrecks them. But there is a point at which you suffer for not having somebody.
Your
your starter or your backup. Like part of that for me with the Bills would be I like Davis. He's obviously never played any kind of every down role or anything yet, so it would still be unknown. But when you're getting, when you're dipping into retired players, maybe counting on them to save you, that isn't good. And it's funny, before the season, we look at schedules and who's got an easy schedule, who's got a hard one. Chiefs next six games at Atlanta Sunday night. That's a great job last night, Atlanta. I mean, I think they were fortunate by how the Eagles played the end game, but
they did it. That game all night felt like I was preparing to, you know, for whatever, however much we would talk about a game between the Eagles and the Falcons on our show, it's time for Michael Penix. Look, the guy's not recovered. We were so focused on Aaron Rodgers, who got hurt earlier than Cousins got hurt. Like he did move around more yesterday under center and play action and stuff, but he's still not really driving, and he made some terrible throws. That, you know, I've said it before, when your mechanics are messed up as a quarterback, if it, you know, in this case it's a leg, Deshaun Watson's got shoulder problems, like every ball you throw isn't terrible, but your hit rate is gonna be lower. You're gonna miss more throws because you just don't have mechanically and strength wise what you need. And I don't know that's going anywhere anytime soon for Cousins, but he made the throws. I mean, great job by their coordinator and by him, like going after. I'm guessing they went to school on what Vic Fangio does in that situation and felt confident that they could, you know, push the ball 20 yards down the field and not settle for just dump offs and getting out of bounds. Because, I mean, that was so fast they gave Philly a chance to one up them.
Yep.
With no timeouts. I mean, that was one of the best 2-minute drill drives maybe I've ever seen. Yeah, there was no. They were in touchdown range in like 30 seconds. It was crazy how fast they moved.
Sunday night, guess the line: Kansas City at Atlanta.
Chiefs minus 3.5.
Correct. Nobody better at this game. Correct. 3.5.
Boy, am I good.
So
hadn't looked today. Really. So, all right.
No need to say that.
Okay. Thank you.
Right.
I just, you know. Everyone out there doesn't trust me as much as you, probably.
Okay.
But I appreciate you.
Chiefs next six games at Atlanta. So they don't play a 1 o'clock game in any of these either. It's either 4:25 or at night. At Atlanta, at the Chargers. Okay.
Yep.
Chargers 2-0 going to Pittsburgh. Possible 3-0 versus 3-0 game. Kansas City at L.A. L.A.'s, I think, a little bit interesting. Their defense has been really good. New Orleans in week 5 on a Monday night. Mm. That's fun.
See what Spagnuolo's got for that. Okay.
The Chiefs then have their bye week in week 6. Then it's at San Francisco. And then at Vegas before Tampa on a Monday night. That's their next six games. Then it's Denver, and then they come here. And that's about when Pacheco might be back. You could end up with the Chiefs getting Pacheco back for that Bills game. Right around there is the expected timeline. But this is no picnic. You know, if the Chargers and the Raiders are competitive or better, it's just a different looking Chiefs season than what we thought was more likely before it started that they would not be. You know, they were the biggest favorite to win any division.
Right.
And now it's, you know, they're 2-0, barely, but the Chargers have been good. The Raiders beat the Ravens.
Boy, it would really be good for the race for the one seed. However much you want to, after 2 weeks, I at least can spit this out. Like, I have the thought. I'm going to spit it out. I'm not going to hold it back. Like, I'm thinking about it. I wasn't all summer, but 2-0, and with Baltimore and Cincinnati off to the start, they're off too. Like, I recognize Houston and KC are still there, and then these other 2-0 teams that I don't really think will stay, you know, remain standing as real threats as the year goes on. But if I'm wrong about that, right, and the Chargers are tough on Kansas City, or really anyone else, but mostly this is a Kansas City point, that could go a long way, man. That could really go a long way.
Second half looks easier, although they do have the Bills game. They do have Houston late in the season as well. But, I mean, Pittsburgh is in the same class maybe as the Chargers, where could be a little bit better than expected. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Ross Tucker in 20 minutes here on WGR. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Ross Tucker coming up. We have a Jacksonville guest tomorrow. Sal will be back on as the Bills get back to work Monday night. The Gabe Davis revenge game. Bills and Jaguars. Tom Pelissero. I'm not sure. Household name?
He's a notch below the Schefters and the Rappaports, I would say, but pretty familiar name.
NFL Network. He is reporting that the Bills have worked out two kickers. Anders Carlson, he was Green Bay's kicker last year and was released shortly before the season. His brother is the kicker for the Raiders. I think it's Daniel Carlson.
Yep, that sounds right. Yep.
And Cade York, who was with Washington, maybe he was released or practice squad, I don't know. But
he was released, and then the guy that they replaced him with kicked 7 field goals to beat the Giants on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, Siebert or Seibert, whichever it is. Cade York was the Browns kicker in 2022. You know, with Bass, there's obviously been discussion about him. You look at the stats, and they look kind of fine to me. He stumbled late in the season. You look at these guys, and they also look pretty good. You know, I mean, most and this year so far in the NFL, everybody's making everything. But look, I mean, a lot of fans have wondered about Bass, and if the Bills are working out kickers, it seems ominous.
They're wondering too, I think, and probably with good reason. I mean, it didn't hurt him at all. But the miss was bad. You know what I mean? Like, that was not just the wind, or I put the wrong, like, it was just awful. It was an awful miss. Like, I mean, it was never had a chance. It was, so, like, that just, I don't know. I mean, I don't need to split hairs, but, you know, I feel like you bounce one off the upright, like, okay, you know, be better. Man, you shoot a knuckleball that never even rises to like the level of the crossbar, and it ends up in the left corner of the end zone, or doesn't even make it to the end zone like that. You're an NFL kicker. What the hell happened there?
There's dead money with him, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not insane, but still, it's, you know, a couple million bucks for this year and next, I think, is how that would work.
Super.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough, they're in a tough spot there with the timing of that extension, which they gave him, I think, last year.
Yep, $4.4 million cap hit this year, dead cap, $7.3 million this year, and then about $3 million next year. But, well, the Bills are working out kickers, reportedly. No announcement on Bass, but why would you do that if you were not ready to make a move? We'll continue to watch that. Ross Tucker joins us next to talk week two and a little bit of Bills Jaguars. Really interesting, I think, to, you know, get into with Ross just the trends around the league and how passing volume is so far down so far this year. We'll do that and more after the update. This is WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.